Now, Republicans in the state Senate have elected new leadership after Majority Leader Scott Fitzgerald won his race for Congress. Devin Lemahieu will be the new majority leader when the next legislative session begins in January, and Chris Kapinga will serve as Senate president. Republicans added two seats in the November election, nearly flipping a third, which would have given them a veto-proof majority in that chamber. They'll return with a 20-12 advantage over Democrats, probably 21, assuming they hang on to the seat currently held by Fitzgerald. Challenges awaiting them include COVID-19, redistricting the state budget, and more. Incoming Senate President Chris Kapinga talked to me earlier today. He's a Republican state senator from Wisconsin's 33rd district. That includes Delafield, Pewaukee, and Oconomowoc. Senator Kapinga, good to have you with us.
Thanks for having me.
Well, let's start, first of all, with a new look in the state Senate. Your party picked up two seats there and a change of leadership. What are your thoughts on the outcome of the election in your chamber?
Well, we've had Senator Fitzgerald has been in the chamber in leadership for, I think it's 14 years now. So with him moving on and Senator Lemahieu being the majority leader-elect, and then myself moving into the president spot, obviously our focus as new leadership is going to be just making sure we have excellence. We're listening to the caucuses. We're listening to the minority party. And probably more importantly at this point, we're going to try to focus on having good communication with the governor's office and the speaker.
One of the big issues to communicate on is, of course, COVID-19. On Monday, we talked to the president of the Wisconsin Hospital Association. He wrote a letter to Governor Evers and a lot of the leadership in the Assembly and Senate to work together. He says healthcare workers, especially under a lot of stress, getting overwhelmed here. What kind of priorities do you see now or in the next session when it comes to COVID-19 health and economic relief?
One of the really good things that they have in there is a recommendation that I think all the sides can get around is there's a concern right now with a workload on healthcare workers, and anybody who has is in it or has a family member in it knows that it's taking its toll. I'm getting emails almost every day from people in the field. But what we do is we've actually got some flexibility in place to allow hospitals to make decisions on who best fits into the spots. And we give them flexibility with licensing so that they say, hey, if a lower level license can actually fill this spot and do it adequately, we allow for that to be done so that they don't have such a strain on the workforce. So that's something that we're looking at continuing. There's also liability reform that the Senate has come out with probably a few weeks ago just to protect schools. We've heard a lot from school administrators just saying, hey, we're really concerned about with kids in person, even if it's just a hybrid version, we don't want to have a lawsuit come at us because we're actually teaching the kids and one of them would happen to get COVID. So that's another really important measure that that we're hearing a lot from. So those are a couple of things that I think there's common ground, and we'll focus on other things like that that we can get across the finish line.
One thing I've heard from some public health experts is it isn't in all cases so much, you know, a mandate or legislation, but, you know, having leaders speak in more or less one voice to the public to take this thing seriously. What kind of things would you say to your constituents about COVID-19? So we've got big numbers in the state and you're part of the state right now.
It's really important that everyone understands, and this is something that you know, I've been saying publicly too, and other members have been talking about this in our caucus, just about, you know, the CDC does have guidelines in place, and we know that the social distancing and cleanliness, that does make a difference. So everybody stay focused on those things. Fortunately, you know, we're watching the numbers on a daily basis right now, and we are seeing a little bit of a turn down. So we're really hopeful that that trend continues so that we can kind of get away from the high levels that we're at right now. So there is some hope as we watch that kind of peak and start coming down that we can continue the trend with the numbers to make sure the hospital systems do not get to a point where they are overrun.
Talking to State Senator Chris Kapinga about COVID-19 right now, but also looking ahead at priorities for the next legislative session and the next year. And let's start looking toward the future. A lot on the agenda for 2021, including it's a state budget year, which is kind of the biggest thing you all do in the legislature and the governor's office for that matter. What kind of priorities? I know it's still early days. What kind of priorities are you looking at for the new budget?
Actually, I think the first thing we're going to do when we get into office is pass a resolution that and ask unanimous consent that that we're all thankful we're out of 2020. I think that'll be the first bit order of
Fair.
Business we do. But with a budget coming, what we're watching really closely is the numbers that are coming in right now, just to see. Our hope is that we're seeing Q3 came in fairly decent. We didn't have a big dip. Q4, the preliminary numbers that we're seeing actually look fairly good too. So the big thing is, if we can continue strong numbers economically, we don't have to start having the conversations about utilizing the rainy day fund or worse cuts. We do have a significant balance in the set aside rainy day fund right now, exactly for situations like this, where you have an unplanned, pandemic going on. We can utilize those funds if we have to hopefully plug some gaps. I think the big thing everybody's hoping is that we don't have to start getting into conversations about cuts.
Are there things that in that budget that you say, you know, even if we do need cuts, this is where we really need to hold the line? These are priorities, or flip it around, things that you think are maybe low hanging fruit for budget cuts?
Well, I think that it's interesting, the conversations that are going on right now just about education, and we don't know what adjustments or changes may be necessary, but just all the conversations that are going on, I think on both sides of the aisle, both caucuses with administrators and DPI, is just the way that we're educating kids has changed so drastically. And I think we have to get our arms around, is that going to be more of a long-term change? And if so, are there adjustments we have to make either up or down in certain areas? We know mental health is going to be a big issue. I just spoke with someone from a larger company in the area, and she said that they are dealing with unprecedented mental health issues in their workforce as they work remotely. So I know that's going to be something that comes back up. We'll have to kind of look at the strategy on, hey, are there going to be significant costs related to that that we need to plug in?
Another big issue for 2021. We just had a census in 2020, which means it's time to break out the maps and markers next year and draw new legislative boundaries. Governor Evers has floated the idea of a nonpartisan commission taking on that role. I know Republicans in the legislature not super into that idea. What are you looking at when it comes to redistricting next year?
Well, we actually looked at the nonpartisan commission when we spent time in this a couple of years ago, and I was fortunately on the committee for that. And we just came to the conclusion that it's really hard. And we spoke with other states, both Republican and Democrat states, who have gone through this before. And they all kind of came to the same conclusion that it's really hard to actually have a nonpartisan commission. So with that being said, we wanted to make sure that we maintained that the legislature, which is the voice of the people, maintains control of those maps. And then obviously we have to make sure we're following what the Constitution has in place. So the legislature will go through the process like we always have. We'll draw the maps, and then the governor will have to make a decision on whether he passes that or vetoes it. If he vetoes it, then it will go to the courts, and the courts will have to take a look at it.
Everybody I've talked to says that what you just said means the courts are going to have to decide on this. I mean, can you see a process where you sit down with Democrats, with the governor, and work together on a map that you all can agree on without having to make it a legal process?
It would be nice to live in the world of, yes, we're going to sit down and have a great conversation and strike a deal on it. But the reality is, just with the current election that we just got through and some of the historical things over the last few months with the governor's office, I think it's going to be difficult to come to a consensus. Obviously, I think that's everybody's goal. But that being said, my expectation is that this will likely end up in the courts. So we're the legislature is working on if we would have to obtain legal counsel. We're looking into that side of it right now, and I'm sure the governor's office is doing the same thing.
Finally, I want to look at this year's election. We had the president tweet at one point he wants state legislatures to look at stepping in and appointing slates of electors instead of going with the popular vote. And there's a lawsuit right now in Wisconsin asking the state Supreme Court to put it in the legislature's hands. Do you want that? Do you want the role of selecting electors to come down to you all in the legislature?
Based on my discussions with the caucus so far, I just don't think that there's any appetite to start discussing major changes to how we do it. We're comfortable that the voice of the people needs to be the decision point for who our electors actually vote for. So we want to maintain that process. The discussion really is around the integrity of the vote. And we want to make sure that the election officials are following the process of law that's in place. And that's really what the court cases are about right now. It's just, hey, did they follow the law? And we're already discussing as well, are there election reform issues? And there's going to most likely be a joint hearing. I don't think we're going to get it in this year, but early next year, where the election committees pull in people from the who actually worked in the elections and determine, do we need to make some adjustments to our system to ensure that every legal vote is counted and no illegal votes are counted?
Senator Kapinga, thanks a lot for joining us. Enjoy the holiday.
Thanks, you too.
Chris Kapinga is a Republican state senator from Wisconsin's 33rd district. That includes Delafield, Pewaukee, and Oconomowoc. He's the incoming Senate president. We talked to him about Republican priorities for the upcoming session, including COVID-19, redistricting, and the state budget.